Ready?
Go. Hey everyone, it's Heather Whaley.
Hey, Heather, it's Frank Whaley.
It's Friday again. It's the 26th of February. The next time we do this, it's going to be March. This is episode 35. I got to be perfectly honest, I don't have it in me today. I'm like, I was trying to think of things people might want to hear about, and I just said to you a minute ago, I said, I don't think anybody's interested in anything. I'm not interested in anything right now. Everything seems dumb and pointless to me. Today, that's where I'm at.
Well, listen.
Except that I went to the liquor store.
Well, that's something. You're gonna have some. You'll have some vodka in you.
Yeah.
Right? You don't. You know. You say you don't have it in you.
Yeah. No, I don't have any energy or enthusiasm. What do you do? Are there things that you do like for yourself when you're feeling down in the dumps to cheer yourself up?
Me personally, yeah. Frank
mm-hmm.
Whaley.
Yeah.
What do I do if I'm down in the dumps? Is there anything that I do?
Yeah.
No. You remember the time you tried to poison me by
oh my God.
With the sandwich?
It was a hot dog, wasn't it?
A hot dog? No. What are you talking about? You made me a veggie chicken salad sandwich for lunch.
Oh, right, right.
I don't know, what are you talking about? Hot dog. Maybe that's another time you tried to poison me. Well, anyway, this guy was arrested because he tried to kill his wife.
What happened?
Well, there's this man in California. He tried to drown his wife.
Drown her?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's scary.
And then that didn't work, Heather, so he tried to bury her alive in the sand.
Wait, was she drugged or something?
Don't do any guesswork here, Heather. I'm going to tell you the whole story, okay?
Okay.
You remember Coronado Beach in San Diego? We were there, you and I.
Yeah, the Hotel Del we stayed at. That
we
place
sure
is
did.
Haunted.
We went to Comic-Con. We went to...
Remember that old man in the elevator? They had an elevator operator?
Yeah, that's kind of a shitty old hotel.
Well, I mean, it's kind of cool. And I bet there are really nice rooms in that hotel, but we did not stay in those nice rooms.
Well... We had a nice room. The first room they put us in was like next door to the kitchen, and all night we heard the waiters talking and bringing dishes in.
Yeah,
it was
playing
like,
music.
It
was insane. Oh, it was a nightmare. But then they gave us $350 to spend in the restaurant, and like as an apology, and they're like it was impossible for us. We were with our children to spend $350 in that restaurant.
We could have found a way.
We could have bought like a really nice bottle of wine or something like that. I suggested it at the time you didn't want to.
That's because I'm a asshole.
The whole cast of The Walking Dead was at like the table in the back.
As I was saying, this incident occurred on Coronado Beach in San Diego. So this guy, 23-year-old guy, he was arrested because for attempted murder. Assault causing great bodily injury, domestic violence, false imprisonment, and parole violation. Sounds like our wedding night.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, this guy and his wife, they arrived at the beach, and they got into an argument, which is when he began attacking his wife.
Physically attacking her. Oh, my God.
Well, no. I mean, verbally attacking her. What do you think?
During the day? During the daytime?
This was in the evening,
okay.
He attempted to throw her in the ocean.
That's just weird because it's not very deep.
Then burying her in a hole in the sand. She must have really pissed him off.
But I mean, how do you try to... First of all, you know how long it takes to dig a hole? Was it a hole that was already dug? Because I'm just picturing, why didn't she run away when he's digging this hole in the sand?
This guy's either the worst murderer on the face of the earth,
or he doesn't make any sense.
Didn't really want to kill her anyway. The woman managed to escape and ran from the beach to the street where a passerby found her.
Yeah, while he's digging the hole. I mean, kids work on digging holes at the beach. It takes them all day.
She told this passerby that her husband had just tried to kill her on the beach. And then first responders took the woman to a San Diego trauma center, and then the police found him hiding in the backyard of a home less than a mile away. This guy's the worst criminal.
Oh, my God. I mean, that's just embarrassing that you were, I mean,
You, I mean, it sounds like a fun day at the beach. It just doesn't sound like he's trying to kill us. But he's throwing her in the ocean. He's digging holes. It sounds like what people do for a fun time. Understand, this guy's got charges up the wazoo against him. I would have said, officer, we were having fun on the beach. What is she, crazy? I threw her in the ocean, yes. I buried her alive. People do that all the time.
Hang on 1 second. I want to talk a little bit about trying to kill someone by burying them in a hole. So in order for that to happen, the hole has to be really, really deep, so deep that you can toss them down and they won't be able to climb out, right? Otherwise, you put me in a little hole, I'm going to get up and get out of the hole. So it also has to be so deep that in the time that it takes you to fill in that hole, they still won't be able to climb out. And that means it would take you a really long time to fill in that hole.
The worst possible way, there's two really bad ways to try to kill someone. Throwing them while they're wide awake in the ocean.
Yeah, when it's not even deep.
Because they can swim out.
Big waves or anything.
They can see, I mean, like, what's this guy throws his wife in the ocean, and then he's like, wait a minute, how did you escape? I swam out of the ocean.
I swam out of this beach, and I went over to that hotel right there, and I swam up on the beach, and I said, can someone help me?
I'll show you. I'm going to bury you alive. Where? In the sand?
In this big hole I'm digging. Just wait right there a second. Can I borrow that little shovel? That little plastic shovel?
Wait, how did you get out? I just pushed my way up through the sand? Oh.
Oh, my God. So now this guy's been arrested.
Yes.
Do they have
Jose Luis Maris III.
Do they have children?
Not according to this article. It doesn't say.
That's a good thing.
But Moreno Valley resident. And he's charged, as I said, with attempted murder, assault, causing bodily injury, domestic violence, false imprisonment, and parole violation. He should have one extra charge. Dumbass. We got a letter here. You want to hear this, Heather?
Sure.
Okay, this letter is from a young lady by the name of Stuart.
Her name is Stuart?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know why I'm assuming this is from a woman, this email.
Okay.
Maybe it's a man.
Well, I don't think it really. Maybe
Stuart's
it
a strange
matter.
Name for. No, I guess Stuart's not a strange name for a female. Anyway, dear Frank and Heather, been listening to you guys banter since last April. Why didn't she listen to Mark? Because we were doing this in March.
Yeah,
we were
doing it in March.
Because she didn't hang for March. Frank, I'm from the Fayetteville Manlius area.
That's your neck of the woods.
We would eat at Gruen's all the time. Gruen's is a restaurant that I worked at when I was a kid. My grandparents are German, and my grandfather would only eat sauerbraten from Gruen's. We ate there on many special occasions. Little did we know, 13-year-old Frank Whaley was in the kitchen washing dishes. Awesome. Heather, I love your whole vibe. Life goals. Keep up the good work. XOXO.
That's lots of hugs and kisses from Stuart.
I guess I thought it was a gal because she said she loved your whole vibe and life goals.
Mm-hmm.
Like she wanted to be Heather.
That would make sense. You actually printed that out, didn't you?
I did.
So what is that?
Well, you're supposed to bring my desktop computer in this closet.
You could have it on your phone.
What do you mean on the phone?
What is sauerbraten?
Well, sauerbraten is I don't want to diss on Stuart's grandparents, but sauerbraten is a dish. It's a German traditional German dish that they made in this shitty restaurant that I worked in, Gruen's restaurant. And Stuart, if your grandparents knew how filthy that kitchen was, they wouldn't have eaten sauerbraten or anything else out of that damn place. But sauerbraten is a thing they make with, can be made with like pork or beef or mutton.
Oh, I thought it was like sauerkraut.
Or horse.
Ugh.
They made it with horse meat. Not in the place I worked at. Not in the place I worked in, but it can be made with horse meat. And it's kind of made in this kind of briny, sweet and sour sauce where they're, so basically in these huge, enormous pots. They would make this sauce, and it was Sauerbraten. I don't know what's, you can look up the German translation, sour, you know, whatever Braten is. I don't know, sour meat? I don't know. What's Braten in German?
I have no idea. Anyway. Maybe, yeah, like a bratwurst?
Yeah, anyway, and they would, I don't know, I'm not sure what meat they used. Probably beef or pork in this place I worked at, and they would just let it sit and stew. And people come in and eat that shit. And then I had to scrub the fucking Sauerbraten parts out.
That sounds really
nasty, disgusting. I had like smelled my... And when I was a kid, I worked in this kitchen for a couple of years, pretty much every night of the week, school nights included, of course. I worked there Monday through... I used to work like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, like Fridays and Saturdays, sometimes Sundays. But I would come home late at night and I'd go to school in the morning smelling like Sauerbraten.
Oh,
usually
God,
I wear the same
so
clothes.
Gross.
And people would say, damn, what do you smell like,
oh,
man?
Oh, God.
And I would say quietly, oh, it's probably Sauerbraten.
Oh, man. And this person, Stuart's family was eating all that Sauerbraten.
Well, I'm glad that they, listen, I don't want to, I'm not going to sit here and tarnish Stuart's memory, because it sounds like she had a happy memory of Gruen's, because, you know, it was a family-style place, and it was always crowded. But I'm not going to say, I mean, I don't think many kitchens are clean, unless it's an upscale restaurant.
The cleanest kitchen that I ever went in a restaurant was...
Let me guess. The Bobby Flay.
Bobby Flay's restaurant.
Yep.
That was super clean. But others have been real nasty.
You had
so
sex with
nasty.
Bobby Flay
no,
in the kitchen,
what?
Didn't you?
No. What are you talking about? I worked for him.
Okay. Checking. That was a test.
No, I don't know if any bad stuff has ever come out about that guy. He was always perfectly nice to me a little bit. You know, he didn't really talk to me.
Bobby Flay? Remember we saw him at the...
At the Belmont
at the horse
Stakes.
Race.
Yeah, he let us stay in his box. That was really nice of him. I remember there were...
I almost said you let him stay in your box, but that'd be gross.
There was an ad like on the bus stops for a while in New York, and it said, meet Bobby. And it was like a thing where you could go meet Bobby Flay. And I remember walking by, and one of our kids just went, meet Bobby. And I just every time I think of him, that's what I think of. Meet Bobby.
I have a nice impression because he did let us. Yeah. We were at the Belmont Stakes because I was in a movie about horse racing, and the fellow that I played in the movie was like the foremost horse racing writer.
Yeah, Bill.
Bill Knack.
Knack. And
he's passed away.
It was a movie about Ruffian, who was a filly, a female racehorse.
That's right.
And then that spring at the Belmont Stakes, another filly was running called Rags to Riches. And
good memory,
everybody
Heather.
Went to the Belmont Stakes, and Bill invited us. And we went and we placed our bets. And then right before the race was going to happen, we noticed that there was a box that was empty. So we just sort of jumped up in that box. And then Bobby Flay and his, I think he had two people with him, two women with him, came in and let us stay there. And it was so exciting because Rags to Riches won. Everybody had bet on Rags to Riches. It was super fun.
I don't think I ever... told you this, but halfway during the race, I was standing next to Bobby Flay, and halfway during that race, which was really exciting, Bobby just reached down and took my hand and put it inside of his hand, and just, we held, like, for the duration of that race, Bobby Flay and I held hands.
Oh, that's so nice.
It was really a sweet gesture, and then at one point, he looked at me and kind of smiled and winked, and I didn't think much of that, after the race was over, he let go of my hand and he just kind of put his finger in my between the cheeks of my rear end.
Oh my God.
Yeah, that was the weird.
That's really weird.
That was the weird part.
All right.
I just made that.
Yeah.
I just made that up.
You can get sued.
I did, yeah. Bobby Flay never did that. Why do I say Bobby Flay?
I have no idea.
He's a very he sounds a little bit like he has helium when he talks. His voice is kind of high, like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, I want to thank Stuart for the letter.
Thank you, Stuart.
I hope I didn't ruin your life.
Listen, we've already gotten some people submitting their audio of our first episode.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Cool.
So people send that in. Go listen to episode one.
Fayetteville Manlius, Stuart. And that's in Fayetteville. I feel bad now that I like ruined the memory of by saying that Gruen's was a nasty restaurant, but it wasn't nasty. I feel bad.
Okay.
And her grandfather was right. It was a good place to have sauerbraten, and I hope they had many happy memories there.
Yeah, I shouldn't yuck on her yum like that. Like, sauerbraten, maybe it's delicious. I bet I'd probably like
yuck it. Yuck on her yum?
Yeah, like when somebody, but that's what the expression is, like if you're like, oh, I love eating this, and someone else is like, gross. It's very rude to do that.
Yuck on your yum.
And she liked sauerbraten, and I said gross. Send in your tapes of us. Your impressions of Frank and Heather Whaley. At bonus points if you do it in an accent that's not your own.
Saw a really good documentary, if anybody's interested. Al Green.
I thought we were ending. I thought that was going to be the end.
Oh, no. Sorry.
Okay, but you're going to give everybody a recommendation of something to watch over the weekend.
Well, if you like music documentaries, Al Green, the Gospel According to Al Green, which I think came out in 2017, but it seems like older archival kind of footage. It's all about how Al Green went from being this kind of, in my estimation, the greatest pop singer ever. Mm-hmm. Pop, R&B, rock, it doesn't matter what kind of music you're talking about. There's nobody better than Al Green. Nobody better than Al Green. The songs that he sings, that you know them, you never forget them. He's just amazing songwriter, singer. But anyway, one day he found Jesus, got born again, became a preacher. Yeah, bought a church, became a preacher. Well, something that happened was that he was, as he tells the story in this documentary, he was with this woman, Al Green, and very handsome, sexy guy, like the spitting image of Denzel Washington. Anyway, I feel like we're running long here, so I'll get to the point.
No, you go on with your Al Green
story.
You're going to give a recap. This is what my life is like. This is like really in a look inside the Whaley Family Hour. Frank watches a documentary when he's on the treadmill, and then he tells me start to finish the story of the documentary.
This woman he was kind of seeing, what he didn't realize, according to Al at the time, was that she was married and had three kids. And they were hanging out in the morning. They, you know, she had spent the night and she wanted to get married. And he said, hey, you don't get ahead of yourself. You know, I know you love me. I like you. But hey, and he went into another room and he came in back into the kitchen. There was something on the stove. He's like, what's boiling on the stove? Huh? And he went back into his room. And then a couple minutes later, she came in. With that pan, which was filled with boiling hot grits.
Oh, my God.
And she threw it on him.
Ah.
And he's like, his back is, the skin's coming off of his back. And, he's in great pain. He calls in, you know, one of his assistants. They come in. They're like, his skin is boiling up on his, you know, like, blistering up. You can see it. And
God.
He's in the hope of pain. And all of a sudden, they hear a gunshot. And this woman has shot herself in the head.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Committed suicide.
You got to be careful who you go out with.
Oh yeah. So anyway, he not long later he found Jesus. But anyway, this is an amazing documentary with like incredible footage of Al Green like performing and preaching, and it's just amazing. And the other one is called Betty Davis.
Oh my God. So there's two documentaries you're recommending.
Yes,
now.
Betty Davis. Betty. It's called Betty Davis. Betty : They Say I'm Different. And Betty Davis, not about the movie actress Betty Davis, it's about the funk.
Oh, because I was going to say, I'd be really mad if you watched a documentary about Betty Davis, the actress, without me.
Well, this one, I stopped watching because you're gonna want to watch this.
Okay.
I've seen half of it, but I can strongly recommend it. These are both on Amazon. Betty Davis, Betty, They Say I'm Different. Betty Davis was this obscure 70s funk artist who was just brilliant. Like, she was married to Miles Davis for a while.
You're really going, like, this is a podcast that is about Frank's movie recommendations now. This, right?
Sounds like you're yucking on my yum.
You can go on. Talk
no,
about
no, 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 that's it. She, that's
she,
it.
She was married to Miles Davis.
Yeah, I mean, she just fell out. never gave an interview, never did anything. And but the kind of artist that she was so unique and amazing.
I'm
and
looking at her picture. She's super cool looking.
For the time. I mean, you got to see her performance. Like, outrageous. And I would highly recommend that. Both those documentaries.
All right. So people have their assignments over the weekend. You're going to watch those documentaries. Tell us what you think. And you're also going to go and find episode one and do a recording. You can pick any part of it you want and give us about 30 seconds of your or a minute of your impression of us. And have a great weekend, everyone.
Bobby Fway.